smarter than that. So that little section of 86 between the improvements that have been done and the bridge, I think with a reasonable investment could be a good investment. And then if you want to look at the 86 intersection on the 65 corridor, great. I think that's good. The other, I mean, eventually we're just going to have to work on those. That Ridgedale J intersection, better than it used to be, but kind of good now.
And there's no, I mean, and there's no signs of it. You know, I definitely think it'd be a chance to get ahead of it, because there's no signs of anything slowing down now. That, you know, it's just you're 2 years from now we'll be that much further behind it.
As testimony to the 86 bridge thing, the detour for that, and basically what my comments are going for is a lot of these are only, there's only one access, one opportunity, one way around. The detour on the 86 bridge was 46 miles long. And I forget, but it was shocking to me. It was like $300,000 a day for people to have to use the dang. So if we don't improve these roads, it isn't like we can just reroute them around another way and it won't make any difference. These are basically one way across big lakes. So that's something else that we're dealing with.
Well, with all the improvements down Long Creek Boat Dock Road, there's that much more traffic, and
absolutely,
that worries me to death on that hill with
sure.
No turn lane, and you got tractor trailers coming off of it.
And again, that's the only route. There isn't like you can do something else.
Yeah, I appreciate that on the 86. I want to kind of hear your thoughts on that, because I think probably the further we go, any kind of more people are like, oh, you got fixed, right? Well, yeah, somewhat, but not everything.
Yeah.
So, and to be able to explain what's left to do.
I also am a proponent for the fact that if we get on those roads and start fixing them, one little, you know, six block stretch gets fixed or another. That is not the way to do that. If you're going to do that section of 86, let's just take from Jones Road to the bridge and do it. And get a single design, a single fix, a single bid.
I agree. Our dilemma is that when we underestimate projects, we don't typically have a lot of funding left to spread over the 21 counties to address the needs. With the bipartisan infrastructure law and the increase in the gas tax, we were able to do that and add some energy, and we had that work in 265. And had we not had inflation, probably would have looked at programming the 86 energy. But now with inflation, we're kind of back in that same boat of we have $5 million here to cover the one counties, or $10 million. And so we almost have to piecemeal up the spread it thin enough to kind of address a little bit of everybody's needs. But it's not, like you're saying, it'd be better if we just go in once, fix it, and get it out.
Frank, can that be a design-build candidate or not?
Possibly. It's kind of, I think it's still kind of small for that. Interchange, maybe. But the, like the work, Jones Road to Long Creek, that's probably more just standard design to build. And I know that the TDD, that Big Cedar Forum, talked about funding that interchange as well. But I think their funding is right now tied up with just the work that happened.
Is there anything that needs to be changed with those three?
I don't.
Question, does this gray area block off here, does that mean that only the top three are going to be going forward for review, or will the whole sheet go up for review and focus on that, or how is that going to be processed for review?
So the top three, which are grade, is what our staff will present to our regional transportation advisory committee for their prioritization.
To go to the next slide.
Right.
So the rest of this will not even be seen. It'll be the top three that's right there. So we need to focus and make sure we got the right top three.
Right.
Is the main thing. Because that's the only thing that's really going forward, right?
Correct.
At this time. It may change in the future.
Sure.
And another question over to the next page. It's not jumping ahead. I don't know if you were going to discuss those separately or not, but you've got on particular that last sheet, we've got off the rated projects. The 21 is what we've got on the list there right now, and at least you've transferred over to these sheets for SimCog purposes. But on the next sheet is a whole subcategory, the bike ped allotment, and those vying for funding also. I assume those are going to be handled by separate reviews.
Correct. So our TAC prioritizes road and bridge projects that are on the MoDOT route, on the MoDOT system, which is like the first section we were talking about. And then we also prioritize bike and ped projects. In the past, there had maybe been an opportunity to, there's not much of an opportunity to program bike and ped into the SIP unless it comes along with another asset management project that is in there. For like sidewalk enhancements or ADA compliance, or perhaps adding pedestrian connection to a bridge replacement. So our bike ped prioritization list primarily helps us and kind of the local jurisdictions apply for grant programs like the Transportation Alternatives Program or TAP. It helps us then write that letter of support, which is a requirement for those applications that we can say, this was rated as Taney County's, you know, number one pedestrian need, or it was rated as SimCog's regional, you know, top whatever number need. So it kind of helps strengthen the grant applications. And similarly with other lists, you know, road or bridge, even if it doesn't make it to the top, on our regional need, if we've got a good prioritized list for the county, again, if there's another funding opportunity that comes along that's separate from the STIP funding, then that enables us to write letters of support and advocate better for those projects.
Open up some opportunities for funding.
Yeah. So for the TAC, we prioritize the road and bridge needs as one list, and then we prioritize bike and ped. The other ones you see on here, like rail, freight, aviation, transit, those are kind of holdouts from when we, I think two times ago when we tried for a sales tax increase, the legislature, I believe, or whoever was moving that initiative, wanted a multimodal transportation needs list. And so we felt that it was best to just keep those on our list the best we can, but we don't necessarily prioritize those at the regional level.
President Biden's infrastructure monies that have been allotted, a lot of opportunities for people to focus on those fundings, including the rail side.
Yeah.
But so you've got prioritized, got it in your hip pocket ready to go. It's easy to call upon, and if a Hollister or Ranson or any communities decide they want, or Forsyth want to approach those items, then they have an avenue that we've got a diagnosis of on the list.
I'll also say we've had experience with particularly our rail list. You know, once people start thinking about that, then they might think about eliminating some rail crossings. And though it's not necessarily on MoDOT route, it might be adjacent to a MoDOT route. And so that's enabled us to go back and look at those two needs as maybe a combined process. We've seen in Webster County and Route 60 consolidation of some rail crossings because in building some new interchange along 60 Highway,
there is a lot of federal funding under the Biden program infrastructure for closing grade crossings.
Yeah.
And so if the staff ever get free time to focus on them, we've got so many other problems that we're focusing on. One question, and I pose this particularly there in the PED project, to Michael Woods, are those two projects rated there at the top? Are those the first out of the box? Are they look appropriate to the needs of Branson? And look like Ferris Wheel to Pat Nance Drive and Convention Center downtown, right in the heart of the downtown area there by the Convention Center, are the two focuses that you're thinking about doing something with?
Absolutely. So 76 is high priority for the city of Branson. You're going to see a huge push for that, as it has been for the last 10 years plus. But excited about future projects that are going there, and commitment for tap money is starting to come in, and we have extra tap applications out. And as Jason highlighted very well, is our letters of support are what get us over the crossing line.
So you have some active taps in the mill?
We do. Yeah, we have one in 76 segment 1 and 2, and then we have another one that's the extra money that was flowing over for pickup segment 3 and actually move out of 76 and go over to Chevrolet Hills for crosswalk improvements. So safety one, safeties for our pedestrians, it has to become number one. Is we don't want to be on national news for pedestrian fatalities as families are walking across the road. And as you know, 76 has a lot of distractions to look at. So.
Excellent. Will some of this add to the funding for the upgrade of the 76 strip? Dovetail into that, or is that?
It does. It dovetails into it. It allows us to do not only just a normalized traffic and intersection improvement, but it'll allow us to do some enhancements that haven't been thought of before.
So. Wow, you're on top of it. Great. That's good.
Appreciate it.
Question number 6 says, how many times got a new bridge? I just missed Swan Creek in Forsyth.
This says on new bridge. 6 under the.
I think that was it for the new bridge across
Schultz.
Yeah,
the new
Schultz.
Bridge right here.
I think we received some public comment about wanting sidewalks in Forsyth, you know, also throughout the community, not just on the bridge. That's what I'm sure.
Yeah. And that bridge replacements. Is it next year or 26?
It's 26 or 27, I can't remember. We'll be able to talk with it. We've had to delay things because of inflation also.
I know we got that one and the Beaver Creek Bridge.
Yeah. But I'm asked because I was also asked by the project manager if it was identified bicycle pedestrian at the Swan Creek Bridge. Been requested. So I would look forward to this list.
A lot of people that walk up and down there.
Yeah. And it's a very narrow highway lanes with nowhere, with a bluff and an 80-foot drop on those, and nowhere for anyone to be. And then the bridge, of course, there's nowhere to be. It is a little bit dangerous there.
I was surprised if you have people walking there and concerned about it, that you expand the definition and include that.
Swan Creek just showed Ward for 2026 and Beaver Creek bridges for 2027.
All right. So Rick, do we need to vote on these? Keep this in now.
Doug and I are doing some bench talk here, but basically the question is, do we need to make a motion? So I'm going to make a motion to leave the top three here and move those forward to the SimCog.
Second.
So we have a motion and a second to keep our top three to top three. Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion will carry. Anything else on that anyone needs to?
Just to double check, just no other changes for the rest of this list either. The transit items are primarily captured in our regional transit plan as well. So that's usually the best avenue for federal transit funds. And we update that on a 5-year basis, but then periodically as needed, and we grant letters of support for those applications as well.
I had a curiosity question on this project description key that was passed out earlier. What is this stamping on the back here of payment and payback? I have an invoice that's outstanding or the processing of the payments or what?
Yeah, that's basically a sign that when I was writing a check to someone, not hiring a contractor.